I think their intention is to build that and let it be known that it's a place for men to receive help and fellowship. Pray that they pursue that. Y'all can say amen on that. All righty, we did have a good time. I think I'm still tired. I don't know what I did, but whatever it was, he made me tired. Yeah, we swam and we steamed and we walked and we ate and ate. And anyway, that's probably what made us tired, all that eating. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. I make a big splash anywhere I'm at. So, yeah, I make a lot of waves too. I cannot. It's part of my theology is nobody gets too comfortable around me. Y'all believe that about me? I don't know that it's what it is, but well, don't sleep and don't relax and always be on your guard. We got to get something done, even if it's be tense. Got to play a little bit, you know. All right, I said to you last week that I'm going to continue in what I'm calling basic truths. I just felt like 2 weeks ago that I needed to begin going over again some very, very basic truths. And out of that, I hope we get some basic theology that causes basic feelings. Let's stop being educated and theologians and let's get back to the roots. You know, if you're in a hurricane, the thing that stands is what has real good roots. That's where Christians need to be now. There's a lot of smart, dumb people out there. A lot of smart, dumb, highly educated, dumb people. And unfortunately, hell's going to be full of them because their mind is way too open to every truth that comes down the line. We need to get back to the basics, the thing that encourages us, strengthens us, those things that we can pass on without 6 hours of teaching. Amen? Basic truths are easily handed off. You don't have to buy TV time for them. They kind of rub off on you. And our trouble is we haven't stood for basic teachings and basic truth. Therefore, we've had all that other nonsense rubbed off on us. Let's get back there. Get the last two CDs. Get a series of these things going and play them until you're brainwashed back to the basics. Amen? All right. If you don't get that first one, you probably won't understand the rest of them. All right, I started this last Sunday. Let's pray first. Let's pray. I think God wants something to do with this, don't you?
Yeah.
Give Him some room here. Father, we love You with all of our hearts. It's not what we have to say and it's not what we want to teach. It's what You need to be, that You need to be said to Your people. That's what we want. Use this oracle, use this person, use this group, use this day and the rest of our lives to establish You, Your kingdom, afresh and anew once again. Let truth prevail, and for that we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that we have a very difficult time with, it seems like in the United States, is truth. It's nearly like a bad word. And if it's not a bad word, it seems like it's very difficult to get out. And you have many, many preachers that tell you you can't speak the truth. Do you know that? You can only speak it in love, which means don't speak the truth. Speak it the way I want you to speak it. Or speak it the way that it won't offend an ear. And I don't know what, if you know this or not, but most of the time when you speak a truth, it's going to offend someone's ear. I've tried my best to fit into molds where you try to come up with a truth that offends nobody, and I haven't found it to work. I'm not giving up on being a little more gentle. That's not what I'm saying. But I would encourage you to stop being so gentle that nobody can tell what the truth is. The truth is not what somebody wants to hear. The truth is the truth.
Right.
It's a standalone. By the way, I'll say it to you again. The truth is a person. And anytime you don't speak the truth, you're speaking the anti-person. That makes you an anti-Christ spreader because Christ is the only truth.
That's right. Amen.
What He writes in His Word, what He puts in His heart, that's the only truth. Everything else is anti-Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Whether it's the wrong time or the wrong day or the wrong whatever. Be cautious with what you say. You never earn anybody's trust unless you're cautious. I don't mean cautious being don't say it. I mean being careful. The Bible says careful. Be careful. That means handle it correctly, deliver it correctly, and don't vary. Don't color it. Don't whitewash it. Just say it. I laughed at myself, and people laughed with me or at me. But Somebody, I was talking about this, about speaking the truth in marriage. No way a wife is going to ever respect a husband unless he tells the truth, even if it hurts. No respect comes. Respect only comes from truth. I think somebody brought up the fact, well, what if my wife puts on a dress or puts on something and says, well, how does this look? And what they are saying, demanding out of you, is what they want to hear. Even if it's a lie. Don't give them what they want. You tell them the truth. But you don't have to say exactly. I said, if it's really yucky looking, husbands, if it's really bad, and you already know you're going to get in trouble if it's really bad, say, I'd rather see you naked. No, it's still going to, that's not what they want to hear. But they can't get mad at you. Okay? I didn't say lie. If you did, I try. But I don't have any trouble saying it. I'd much rather see my wife naked than wearing anything she's got. So I don't have any trouble with that being the truth. The other way I put it, it's a little way of getting out of telling the truth. But as soon as you grow up and your wife grows up, then you can say, that really doesn't do you good. You really need to take that one back. And because there's a trust built up, there won't be an anger built up. I would much rather have my wife say, ooh, boy, take that shirt off. That don't go with you. I'm not going to be mad. I want somebody to tell me if that's a wrong thing. You know? All right. I told Renee one time, she said, you're really getting gray. I said, well, why don't we turn it blue? Orange. She didn't say that would really look bad. She said, we can do that. She's not being a help, is she? I know it was true. It was true. I don't know if she wanted to do it and then stand back and laugh or what. Once again, I want to continue. Last week, I started a message titled, How to Become Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. You understand that's what the Bible is about? Unfortunately, we are part of an organization called the Church. And I am part of an organization called the Ministry that has mishandled this truth greatly. And they're whoring it like you wouldn't believe right at this moment. The message from the church over every TV screen at this time is that God wants everybody wealthy. You're not supposed to have any problems. And don't make any difference how you live or what you do. You're supposed to have a pocket full. Well, if you were living a perfect life, I really believe that's the perfect will of God. Except for this. Not everybody's supposed to be rich. I don't care what anybody says, not everybody's supposed to be rich. I use the word wealthy because that's the word I wanted to use. I didn't say rich. I'm not too sure what rich means because I know a lot of rich people and I'm not too sure they're wealthy. Full of wealth. And so I want to handle this correctly. I want you to pay attention to what's being said on the television to understand the false so you'll recognize the truth. There are different stratas of ministry, and not everybody that's a Christian is supposed to be rich. It's probably the one thing that I can say. I think everybody is supposed to be healthy. I think everybody is supposed to be wise. I think everybody is supposed to be free, happy, full of joy and peace. But God is wise enough to know that not everybody is capable of handling richness or riches. You know what the church... I love it when preachers stand up and say, God wants everybody millionaires. Do you know what would happen to his church if everybody was extremely wealthy the next week? There wouldn't be anybody there. Because the one thing that I know, if you put a big wad of dough in people's pockets, most of them begin to think they're smarter than anybody else, including the preacher. The second thing that I know about wealth is it makes you independent of God. Because you think you can buy anything you need or want. And until you meet the deathbed, you haven't figured it out that you can't buy everything. Then it's too late. Riches, standalone riches are very dangerous. Now, I will tell you this. I do believe that when God touches the mind, emotions, and will of somebody, that's called truly being saved. He can give them anything and trust them. I will say that. But that's That's a truth that's a lot deeper than most people think. Now, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs, I read to you Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to quickly read it to you again and quickly do a review. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and never, never, never lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And if you fear the Lord and depart from evil and don't be wise in your own eyes, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." The perverted ministry right now about wealth is based on one of these scriptures. Can you tell me which one it is? That's exactly right. A preacher stands up and says, look, that's actually the scriptures before that too. If you will give to this church, your barns will be plenty. Now, whose barns is he trying to fill? Now, you might as well just boil it down to that. Because you're not going to hear him preach about don't be wise in your own eyes, depart from evil. You're not going to hear all of that. Because that's costly. And it don't make you happy. And it don't make you sit comfortable. But look, we're all investors at heart. If I can tell you, oh, just give to this church a dollar and God will give you 10. There's a lot of people that don't have that good of odds at the casinos. So why don't I just try it and see if it'll work? All right. I started breaking these scriptures down. Let me go through them real quickly until we got to where we were last week. Proverbs 31:1. My son establishes a relationship. It don't make you equal to God. It makes you a son of God. Don't forget that. It shows love. It shows ownership. It shows promise. It shows inheritance. It shows future. It said, don't forget my law. In other words, you need to understand that God's law is the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters. Are you hearing me? I said to the men, and by the way, I hope none of you made fun of the testosterone that increased from the last couple of days, because that's exactly what I wanted to do. God made you men. He gave you testosterone. Start acting like it. Beat your chest a little bit. Cry like Tarzan. Do some bold things. And don't let anybody make fun of who you are and what you are. God's law is more important than my wife. God's law is more important than my church. God's law is more important than my children. And God's law is more important than me. So men, you obey God's word, not your wife, not your church, not your children, not your community. God's law. If you want life, God's law. Let your heart keep my commands. That means you make your heart keep God's commands. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Okay, we got a formula here. What's going to add peace, long life, long days to your life? God's law. Not your vitamins. Not your exercise. I'm not going to argue about those. They will help. But it's God's law that causes length of days and long life and peace. I said back to basics. What I'm trying to do is whittle down the nonsense so we'll remember where life comes from. Good life, peace life. Okay, I went over these last week. I'm going to go fast. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I heard a scripture quoted. Submit yourselves one to another. Lie. That's a lie. Because that's not the entire verse. Don't use pieces of the scripture to build a tabernacle on the beach. Because the waves are going to come along and knock it down. I've heard many, many Christians quote many, many verses and get the slightest idea what the verse before it was. Okay? I love, when somebody quotes little partial scriptures to me, I love to quote this one, which is in Psalms or Proverbs, one of the two. Blessed are those that dash babies against stones. And if you look it up, it's exactly in the Word, just like that. And if you don't know what it means, you'll start a church that dashes babies against stones. You'll be required to, because it's God's law, as you see it. Peace will be added. You can't buy peace. You can't counsel peace. You can't get counseled into peace. It's God's Word that will bring peace. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Let nothing else be written on the tablets of your heart. Don't you bind anything else around your neck. Don't let anybody else tie you with something that's not true. You hear me? Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So, how should I be seeking favor and esteem? Only through the Word of God and the obedience to that. Binding it around my neck. Writing it on my heart. Amen?
Amen?
When somebody comes along with another truth or a bending of another truth, don't let it bend your truth. Let your truth stay straight, clear. In the next few weeks, I know that I'm going to teach on a subject called don't lose sight of the goal by being blinded by the moment. I know it's God's working on it. It is amazing to me how in the news media right now, listen, let me take one. CBS and this last lies they tried to distribute over television through documents that couldn't even be typed on a regular typewriter. We're dancing. My dad would say we're dancing around the pig trough here, guys. Not even the Fox News wants to say that CBS forged these documents. They say if these are not improper documents. Give me a break. Everybody in the world that knows documents knows they're forged. So they get by with saying, now they're trying to say, well, the documents are forged, but the facts are true. Oh, believe that person, guys. I presented the documents as the truth. You caught me lying, but believe the other thing that I said. Come on. What is the truth here? Y'all know what the truth in this thing is? It's a lie. So then blather, I'm not listening to you anymore. Oh, I like this. I saw this the other day. Houston, it's got to come from Texas. A Houston television station wrote to CBS, it was a CBS affiliate, said that if you don't make Dan Blather resign instantly, we will never allow a CBS news broadcast on our television again.
Right.
Now this is a CBS affiliate in Houston.
Right.
You know why? Because a lie offended somebody, thank God.
Yeah.
What was the lie? Why was the lie? The lie was, he didn't show up for physical disobeying an officer. Well, they talked to the officers. They lied. He did show up. He did his duty. He was honorably discharged, not dishonorably. There's the truth. What are we looking for all that other stuff? Harry, I don't know about you, but when I served my military, I would not want everything that I did in the military revealed. I might have skirted a direct order once in a while. Because in the military, you're young and stupid. That's what you're required to do. It comes in youth, being young and stupid. And you don't want everybody to know everything you did when you were young and stupid. There's the truth. They both served in the military. They both did their thing, and they both were discharged. Why don't we go on to something else? Well, we are. Now we're finding out who's a liar and who's not. Are you people that are seeking truth? Then you wouldn't vote for a liar, would you? Find favor in God, and you will find favor with man. Find esteem with God, and you will steam man. But they'll still respect you. Let me tell you something. Which is better, to be liked or to be respected? See, I can live on an island by myself all the rest of my life. It wouldn't bother me at all. But I'm not going to live in a group of people that like me and don't respect me. I wouldn't raise children that loved me and not respected me. I would knock that child down. You're going to show me some respect because that's what I was taught and I'm going to pass it on down the line. Come on. You need to seek God's respect, not His love. His love comes. It's to the entire world. You understand that? His love is spread over the entire world to the most dirty, rotten sinner to the very best Christian. So don't seek His love. Seek His respect. Did you know God can respect people? And you believe that? I mean, God sometimes values people. Now, which one would you rather have? Now, that's my son, and who I'm well pleased. He didn't say, that's my son, and who I'm well loved, or I love well. He said, that's my son, who I'm well pleased. You want to seek a word from God? Seek that one. The devil will come along, oh, that's all in your head. No, God gives that out. He gives that out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I could take this one verse, lean not to your understanding, and slaughter you and slaughter me and slaughter the world. This is a two-edged sword that we ought to be beat up with badly. Lean not to your own understanding. We spend all of our lives making our own decisions, getting beat up by those decisions, and we can't come to the conclusion that I shouldn't lean to my own understanding. Trust in the Lord. My statement to you last week, and I'll say it again, you will serve someone. Listen, everybody in here, I want you to understand, you will serve someone. You don't have the devil, God, and somewhere in between. It don't work that way. And that's the way it is for everybody on the entire face of the earth. You will serve someone. Why don't you serve a respectable someone? Why don't you serve someone that really does have power instead of claiming to have power? Not part-time, not a little bit, not when I'm in need. I love it when people get in need, how they start serving God. Lean not to your own understanding. Never trust your own thoughts. Trust God's Word. Let me see. I got God's Word here. And I've got your opinion of God's Word. Which one should I believe in? Okay. That's simple. That's a basic thing. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. And when you do that, He'll direct your paths. Not God's going to direct your paths, and then you can acknowledge Him. So when do you start recognizing that God's directing my paths? When you're sitting in the pig pit. When your feet are covered with pig mud, is when you begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for directing my paths. Now, don't stop once you get up on top of the mountain. That's where most of us slide back down to the pig pen. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Give Him thanks for all things. Love Him in all things. Understand that you're never out of His caring thoughts. Thank Him. Give your attention to Him. Did you know that you can impress Him? That you do? By the way, you also know that car wrecks impress things too, right? We're always impressing something. We're always in some kind of major battle, or we're in a major victory. Depends on how you look at things. You can impress God with your praise and with your worship. But you'll impress Him most with your consistency in the Word. Now, I didn't say reading 43 chapters a day. That's not what I said. I said letting the one verse that hits you that day change your life forever. That's consistency. That's if God impresses you with His Word, you'll impress Him with you living on His Word. Let Him direct your path, lead you, and guide you. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Okay, let's say a basic truth. No wisdom comes from man. No wisdom comes from man. I want to thank him, but I want to correct Richard this morning. In his prayer, he said, God, we thank you for Stan's wisdom. Well, Stan don't own any wisdom. I don't own any wisdom. I can look back on all the times I've led myself down the wrong path. So I don't appreciate my wisdom. But I can tell you one thing, I recognize when God speaks through me. And that's how you give him credit for all things and make sure you don't take any. If you hear anything good come out of my mouth, it's God. Everything else is me. Okay? Don't be wise in your own eyes. No ability comes from flesh. God requires all glory to come to Him because He's jealous. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Every way except God's way is dangerous. You should be afraid. If it ain't God's way, you ought to be afraid. Love God for what He wants to do for you. Trust Him and praise Him because of what He has done for you. It amazes me how quickly humans forget what God has done for them. The first little spider that walks across a path, people have heart attacks. They totally forget the lion and the bear. They totally forget the giants that have already been defeated in our lives already. Listen, remember again, David pointed in his greatest moment of fear, he pointed to his victories, which made the giant a squirt. Understand that? Okay. Depart from evil. All right, I'm not going to go into all this, but I will make a few statements here. Patting yourself on the back is evil. Telling me about all these things you've done in the past, who you set straight, what you accomplished, that's evil. You can tell me about what God has done, but don't tell me what you've done. Loving self more than God is evil. Putting self before God is evil. Putting your wife before God, putting your husband before God is evil. Yielding yourself more than to God is evil. If I know I'm not supposed to do this and I do it anyway, it is evil. You're serving the devil. Sorry, your father's the devil. You need to get that cleared up. Thinking that you know better than God is evil. Believing that your way is okay in God's sight is evil. Can I camp on that one just for a second? I'll tell you what's evil. Preachers teaching eternal salvation with no retaliation. That's evil. You can lose your salvation by giving it up. It's all in the Bible. It can be proven 1,000 times. So to make excuses why you do something and say it's okay because, God, I'm forgiven, you are a liar and you're serving the father of all lies. Don't mean to be rude, but I'm just trying to take away excuses to get away from the very basics. If God is your idol, if he's your hero, if he's your father, if he's your lover, if he's your king, he's your husband, you will not fool around on him. You'll do it his way. Nothing irks me more than a wife that says, I love my husband, and does what she wants to do when he's not looking. She lies to herself, she lies to her husband, and she lies to her God. How about you, bride? Whoever you are, whatever gender. Is that what you try to do with God? You praise his word on Sunday morning, and then you think he's not looking some other time? God's way is perfect and best. Believing that you cannot sin is evil. Please understand, God is such a lover of you that he's given you the ability to choose right or wrong. Don't think he gives you that ability and doesn't know if it's right or wrong. I'm going to refer to it again. If my mom never taught me anything worth listening to, she said, God is always watching. Now, that was a threat when I was a little child. It's not a threat anymore. It's reality. Don't tell me to wear clean underwear when I go to the doctor. I got to wear it all the time. God's watching. I don't brush my teeth because I might meet somebody today. When I get up in the morning, I am meeting God today. Who am I brushing my teeth for? I'm combing my hair for? Who do I need to look good for today? Humans? Oh, come on. So who am I telling the truth for? Who am I living in front of? It's the only thing that matters. Verse 8 says this. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Where are all the health gurus and the macho men lifting weights? Where are they when it fits into the actual health and strength come from God? Why don't we have them on TV saying, let's go over these verses today so your muscles will get bigger, so you'll get wiser, so your bones will get stronger? Where are they? The only thing that's true. I never will forget when I was young, like a lot of things, you stumble in. I stumbled into a weightlifting class. I was about 130 pounds or whatever, skinny as a rail. Farm boy, just ran, played constantly, didn't have time to get fat. Just wiry, working hard, strong, wiry strong. And I went into college and took one semester of weightlifting and added 100 pounds to my body in one semester. Over 100 pounds to be exact, but I'm just going to say 100 pounds. And didn't increase 1 ounce of waist size. I went to a pencil neck to a 20-inch neck. Never did what I considered a neck exercise. I got to be huge, and I could just, using the same mentality, shake your hand and crush it. I don't know. It's my genes. It's what my mom's side and my dad's side brought to the table to me. No control over that. If I go to working out today, I'll pop 50, 52-inch coats, just like that, because that's the way the genes are built. But here's the problem. Couldn't scratch the back of my neck. Couldn't reach the back of my neck. Y'all ever think about that? I could not scratch the back of my neck because my arms were so big. Well, that don't sound all that bad. Well, my mom came to me one day and said, Stan, stop hurting people. I said, what are you talking about? Because I'm one of those guys that believes you're going to shake hands. Let's shake. Let's don't fish shake. And if you're going to put that fish out there, I don't want to touch it. You keep it in your pocket and we'll be friends. So I would shake with the same strength that I had when I was little. And people would go, and I wasn't noticing it. Because they were polite. They didn't tell me the truth. They didn't say, that hurts. So I'm dumb. I'm just, my mom came to me. She set me straight. I watched it from then on. Things change in you. Are you keeping up with the changes? I had a friend one time. They just loved to walk up behind you and grab these two muscles right here and pinch and watch you go, you know. Y'all ever anybody do that to you? Well, one day he walked up. I was sitting in the back pew of the church, and he walked up and he grabbed that. I said, go ahead. You ain't man enough. And he worked for the utility company, climbing poles and working electrical. He wasn't a wimp. And with all of his might, he tried to hurt me, and he couldn't. Oh, he didn't like that. He'd like to have gone and gotten the hammer and chisel, but it wasn't handy. He decided to play trade punches one day, which I didn't do because I knew I was pretty strong. And I'm driving down the road, and he reaches over and hits me. And I said, don't do that. And then he hits me again, so I reach over and give him a little love pat. He didn't pay any attention. He hit me again. It's a good thing there was a lock on that door. Because the next one he got, he had to go to the dentist to get corrected. You lose your mind. Where are you going with this, Stan? Listen to what happened next. All of that was fun. You strut a little bit. You get through it. Then I went into the military. Now I'm carrying 100 extra pounds, guys. I don't care if it's solid rock. You put rocks on your back at 100 pounds, it's still hard to carry. And I was wise enough to know, Stan, you're going to be running with a bunch of skinny dudes. You've got to run just as far, climb just as high, carry just as much, and yet you're carrying 100 extra pounds. What are you going to do about it? What did I do? Well, God likes me the way I am. That and a nickel will buy you nothing. I went on a diet. I found out there was an Atkins diet before Atkins was even around. I red meat and green vegetables and everything else. There was no bread. There was no dessert. There was nothing. Until I got 50 or 60 of those pounds off. Then I could run with everybody. Do you understand? It doesn't make any difference who you think you are. It doesn't make any difference how valuable you think what you have God has. If it's not profitable to you, get rid of it. Well, I've known guys with a... I had a guy walk up one day. This is only a Texan would say this, but he walked up and I was walking out of the church. He's walking in. He shook my hands. He said, you know what? If I was built like you, I'd charge somebody a quarter to walk around me. Only in Texas, you understand. Now, I didn't do that. But even that, I don't care what that you thought, how valuable that is. How much do you think God, did God develop muscles? Do you think he'd be proud of big ones? Well, sure. Well, sometimes big muscles are not profitable. Get rid of them. Now, if you got a big gut, then you need to work with God whether you ought to keep that or not. If you got some other frailty or something wrong, something that's not profitable to your lifestyle, check it out with God and work on it. He'll work with you on it. I promise he will. Don't make excuses for wrong. Just get it corrected. I bet you God can heal that if he agrees with you. But you know what? Here, now, I've never been too tall, Harry, so I don't have the answer to your question. But here's what I do know. I've never met a man tall enough or short enough, no matter which side of the fence you're on. I had a friend one time that always said, I'm too short for tall jobs, and I'm too tall for short jobs. What is that saying? Well, there's no right height. As long as the feet get to the sidewalk. Well, actually, it's one more thing, and we've got to pray for Bob here. But if you step off the sidewalk, off the curb, and you hit your bottom, you're probably a little short. So we... God loved me from the day I was 135 pounds to the day I was 245 pounds, back to the day that I was 185 pounds in the military. All through that, God loved me. But do you know something? He's given me enough wisdom to know where there's a better weight, or there's a better place, or there's a better way, or, you know, because there's all applications. I can be skinny as a rail and still be doing wrong things. We need to seek God for what is best and most profitable for our lifestyle for Him. I had a goal to get through the military. I got through the military. I didn't get sidetracked. What are you trying to get through? What's your goal? That's another story. We've got to go there. Not go there yet. The fear and respect for God and His ways are the only true health products available. Hey, I want to go back to basics. I'm bringing you back to basics. I'll say it again. The fear and respect for God and His ways are the only true health products available. I saw this on television this morning. I heard this famous doctor. Now he's old. He's in charge of everything, including writing books. He's saying, well, what we've found out now is that there isn't any real need for removing tonsils. Now, some of us have come from a society or a time past when tonsils were, I don't care what happened, the first sore throat, tonsillitis, we've got to get those things removed. Y'all remember that? Well, guess what this boy was saying back then? God put them in there, there must be a reason for them. Well, your appendix, you got to get that out. No, God put that in there. There's got to be a reason for it. See, I was smarter than the famous doctor. He finally caught up to the wisdom God gave me. Isn't that cool? Come on. I'm not strutting about me. I know what God tells me, how He makes me think, so give Him the praise, but I'm smarter than most doctors. No, my dad did that. My dad had the appendix rupture, and he made it all the way through it. Didn't like it. It affected him. But you know what? He had his appendix removed before he believed in God. And I got to say this about Dad. Dad started operating by faith. And to me, it's sometimes a little crazy faith. I don't know who's wrong here, but when he got to believing in God, that guy could eat anything in the world. And he could eat massive amounts of it. And did. He said, God made my stomach. Cholesterol, fat, all of that, that's not of God. It ain't going to affect me. You know my dad. He wasn't fat. I've seen him eat like Patrick. He put Patrick in the shade. Seriously. I've seen him eat a big meal and go to the garbage can and pick up food out of there that people threw away. He just never stopped eating. And when he got old, he's eating ice cream and desserts like crazy. Oh, they could tell you where the best pie places in town were. All of them. And, of course, it thwarted their life to 86. Strength to your bones. Strong people, listen to me, the only strong people are those that follow God. Strong life and strong health come from obeying God's commands and praising Him. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Did you know you can honor the Lord with possessions? Once again, I'm thankful that my family knows not to call me during church. Honor the Lord. Even your telephones need to honor the Lord. They need to know when to shut up. Come on. No, it's not up to me to destroy somebody else's idols. It's up to them. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Don't tell me how good your car is. Tell me how good God is in your car. Okay? Serve the Lord God in all things, especially with what He blesses you with. Did you hear me? Serve the Lord in what He blesses you with. Please, I'm going to say it another way. We are a blessed nation. We're going to lose that if we don't start giving God the glory. I'm telling you, nothing's more stark and real right now than right now on the Alabama, Georgia, Florida, all of those beautiful condos and all those beautiful houses. And this morning, they're just now beginning to get pictures out, guys. In the next couple of days, you're going to understand what that storm really did. Why? Why does God allow this? Tell me which one of it, line the millions that have been affected up. And Let me show me one that gave God glory in those possessions. I'll dare you to bring one. And let's figure out why things are beginning to happen. Is that too basic, Harry? Everybody got quiet all of a sudden. But they showed a beach picture down there where everything, and this was a heavily populated beach, and there's nothing left. An entire swimming pool was pulled out of the ground and put up on the beach. One other swimming pool completely filled with sand. House, and the house behind it, beside it, is gone. And we think we're something. You know who I am? I'm the guy that can stand on the beach and tell a hurricane to go away. You know why? Because I'm going to honor God in that. But see, they're not my children. I don't mean to be rude, but they're not my children. That makes sense to you? They're not my children. Another thing we're going to get real smart, basically, people, is they want to learn who our children are and who they're not. See, because you think that's harsh statements? God knows who his children are. And there's a hell prepared for the rest. I think that's just too rough, Stan. Well, I didn't write it. I didn't make hell and I didn't make heaven. I need to consult with its maker. Serve God in what he blesses you with. Includes all the money you make, everything that you own, and everything you have charge and influence over. By the way, I wrote a question in here. Are you in charge of you? Oh. Whoa. See, it's easy to, if you've got charge over many things, it's kind of easy to say, okay, God, I give them all to you. From now on, everything I have charge over is yours. And it will serve you. The next question is, are you in charge of you? And are you going to enforce that in you? Big shot. You'll make everybody else serve God. Are you going to make you serve God? With the fruits of your increase. Increases from God. Check with him first. Now here's the straightest thing I can say to you. They are not yours. Your car is not yours. Your house is not yours. Your shoes are not yours. Your clothes are not yours. Your children are not yours. Your wife is not yours. You are not yours. They are his. If you want a long, full, abundant life, you'll obey him. Verse 10. You'll do this so that your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. So you will have plenty. If you want plenty, you'll honor God. Well, that's what I want. I want plenty. Okay. We got that down. You want plenty of God, right? Or do you want plenty of things? Okay, well, plenty of God comes with plenty of responsibility. So what you're saying, when you ask for plenty of God, you're going to get plenty of responsibility. Did you know God doesn't have any lazy sons and daughters? Can I be rough on you a little bit? God doesn't have any lazy sons and daughters. Because I guarantee you one thing you are saved from is slothfulness. I'm getting a real good, I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm sure you can pick up the vibes. But I know a man that has way too many children. And last week the church was able to, actually we, it wasn't the church, it was you and I, able to, and we, the check came from the church, but we gave to the church. We had some work that needed to be done, building, painted, caulk, taken care of. So we gave that opportunity so they can continue to live in the housing they are in. Well, come on out in the morning, we'll go to work. They got there at 2:30. Did you know that's not morning? That's not morning. No. Quit about the normal time. Did he make it there the next day? I think the next day he put a pretty decent, I think he put a decent day's worth of work in. Anyway, he promised to do the work to pay for the money we gave him to pay for the rent. When we were at church, I was told, well, I have a court appearance Monday. I have a doctor's appointment Tuesday. I have to go for food stamps Wednesday. And, of course, my wife, in her gracious way, said, well, you just don't even have time for work. You're just too busy. Well, this is Sunday again, and there hasn't been any work done. Number one, I was lied to. I gave the money for the rent, and the work wasn't done. So there was a call made. My wife said, you will not get another dime until you finish not only the work it takes to earn that money, but you'll accomplish the work that it took care to pay the last debt. Now, I don't really care if they're out on the street or not, guys, because if God had touched me with some wisdom, I would have known that's the way it really is. Come on, am I lying? Or I shouldn't have to be surprised when somebody tells me I'm not going to pay you if you don't work. They are not my children. How do I know? Because they don't carry any of my characteristics. Come on. If you're a child of God, you're going to carry some of the genes and characteristics. And otherwise, we need to shun evil. Honor God for plenty. Serve God for plenty. Trust God and get plenty. Fear no other and keep plenty. I'll say it to you again. Serve God for plenty. Trust God. Get plenty. Fear no other and keep plenty. Give to God and have more than possible. I don't have time for your testimonies. You should be jumping up now wanting to tell me about how you gave to God, how you did this, and God blessed you. We all have those testimonies. So now all you need to do is say amen. The bottom line is, you will overflow with new wine. That is not grape juice wine. That is not fermented wine. New wine is new wine. Anybody want to define to me what new wine is? In the Bible, it is a fresh move of God on your life. But Stan, no. Listen to me. God can give you a fresh new move every day. He can give you new wine every day. And there's nothing better on the face of the earth than that little new thing that God shows you every day. It makes life worth living. It makes it exciting because you never know exactly what's coming next. Please, for those of you that like to make plans and know everything in advance, just relax and let God surprise you and keep you excited. The promise is, serve Him with your first fruits, with your increase, His Word becomes everything, and you'll be excited all the days of your life. Verse 11, My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. I know, I should have quit just a while ago. But the verse didn't quit a while ago. That's a trouble. I'd like to quit with you just a while ago, by the way. That'd be fine. But this is the rest of the story. Do not despise the correction from God. Correction is direction. No correction, no direction. It is good. It is positive. There's no such thing as negative correction from God. Please, I'd like to make every one of you acknowledge what I'm saying right now. When God gets after you, it is good.
Yes, right. It's good.
And we need to say, thank you, God. Oh, that was good. Let's do it again. And until we learn to say that, we don't know who God is. You know what the difference between critique and criticism is? Boy, that's a close word. Critique and criticism. Nearly the same root word. Not exactly, but you know what I'm saying. Sounds like it. Critique is something that we actually point out the mistakes we made for the next time we do this. Let's go over this. Critique is not, good job, good job, good job. I've been in a lot of military critiques and I've never been patted on the back and said, you did it perfect. Do it the same way tomorrow. Critique is looking for where we can take out the mistakes and replace it with betterment. That's what critique is. God critiques, but He never criticizes. So what God's purpose and plan for our life is let's meet together, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, all day long, whenever you want, and we'll discuss how things just went so that we can do them better tomorrow. That's why it's exciting. God's plan is being revealed in correction. You see, if you did it perfect, you wouldn't need correction. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but when's the last time you did anything perfect? Don't ask my wife. She'll tell you all the time that I do. Seriously. I critique me all the time. Let's go back. I made that sale. I bet you I could have made it bigger if I'd have done it this way. Or I missed that one. I could have made it if I'd have done it this way. I don't take a bat and hit myself over the head and say, dummy, 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 dummy. And God doesn't do that either. But what I'm trying to get to is you've got to find out what's wrong before you can make it right. And if there's nothing wrong in your life, you're without hope. Nor to test His correction. Nearly true. Direction is advancement. If you hang around the wrong crowd, they'll tell you to go to hell. That's not advancement. If you hang around the right crowd, they'll tell you to go to heaven. That's advancement. That's what God does. You want a better place? You want a better life? You want more heavenly ways? Here's what I can tell you to do. God is directing and correcting you to better things. Not because you're bad. That's why we love His correction. He doesn't say you're bad. He never says you're bad. He says, would you like to be better? God is good and not bad, so He can't do bad things. We would be able to despise good let me say it correctly. Are we supposed to be able to despise good things? Should we despise good things? Is God good? Then there's no way we can despise God. It's out of our, basically, out of our comprehension now, right? Correction is protection from evil. Correction is protection from evil. Verse 12. For whom the Father, whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the Son in whom He delights. A. Who He loves, He corrects. Listen to me. I'm going to say the harshest thing I've ever said in my life. Y'all ready? Yeah, I know you're excited because you've heard me say a lot of harsh things and you don't know what can top it. Well, here it is. He does not waste time correcting the unlovable. What I said a while ago about I need to know who my children are. See, God knows who His children are. And He doesn't chastise them because He doesn't truly love them. Come on. God only knows who is lovable. You and I will never come to that position. That's why we can't give up on people. It's illegal for us to give up on people, but it's not illegal for God to give up on them. Because He can see, the Bible says, from the beginning to the end. So He already knows who is unlovable. And He doesn't waste His time trying to... Why are you saying that, Stan? That's a bummer. Well, maybe we can get some understanding on why we meet people that we can spend 1, 2, 3 years teaching and giving to and correcting, and there's no change. Come on, let some names come in that you know about. Let those names go through your mind just a minute so that there can be a touch of reality in what we believe. We're not exclusive. We're not beyond and above those people. That's not what I'm trying to say. I need some understanding, guys. If I sit up here and I put counsel time and I put money time and I put teaching time and I put prayer time into somebody and they don't change, my question has to be why? I found it. I found out what it is. And God would say to me openly, you think you're something, I put a whole lot more into them and they don't pay attention to me. They don't change for me. Come on. He does not waste time correcting the unlovable. We should want His close scrutiny of our every step. Close direction, close obedience causes close blessings. Anybody want to be blessed? Then you want some correction. Oh boy, everybody jump. We need correction. Let's go get some correction. Let's go to the correction restaurant today. Correction is protection. The second part of that verse says, the Father delights in His children. Anybody here a child of God? Can you imagine that your life delights God? What kind of life? One where it's written on your heart and it's tied around your neck and it's full of obedience and giving God all glory and His Word is everything and you love correction, then He delights in you. As I was praising God back then, y'all were singing a song that included, I forget what it was, but let's just say, just use the word delights. It's about something delights in you. No. You delight Him also. And it just thrilled me to think about God just being delighted in me. Chastisement never causes either party delight. See, I think sometimes we think that God delights in chastisement. No way. No more than you delight in chastising somebody. And by the way, if you do delight in that, repent. Here's what causes delight. Obedience. If God walks up and says, I want you to, or I never want you to do again. That does not delight God. Your response is what delights God or bums Him out. Listen, husbands and wives, children, listen to this. Wife, you need to understand something. If all of my heart is for serving God, and I say to you, Connie, you need to clean your desk, which is exactly what I did before I left. And I come back, and it's not only the desk is clean, but the room is clean, and the tables are clean, and the bedroom is clean, and guess what? And that's the way it was. Everything is clean. I wasn't too sure I was home. It doesn't delight me to say, clean your desk, but it delights me to see the response. And this is where God's at. God is required to say some things to us once in a while. And then He waits for our response. And if it's more than enough, see, if we just do just enough, we're sloths. But if we go further than He wants us to do, or even if it's a mistake and we go further, it was to please Him, He is delighted. He's delighted. Obedience causes delight. Not just to see obedience, but knowing that adherence to the law brings blessing and protection. Blessing and protection. Let me tell you something. We got in the truck yesterday. Connie called and said they took Mackenzie to the hospital because she's running a fever. So what? Your flesh says, I'll go get on a plane now. I can be there in a few hours. What am I going to do there? That's just not my feelings. That's everybody's. When somebody that we love gets in trouble, we want to go to them immediately. That is losing sight or being blinded by the moment. That's not the goal. What is the goal? The goal is she walks in health, all right? Now, let's don't be blinded by the moment. Let's figure out how do I get to the goal. Well, listen, if you got to catch up on obedience, there's no hope. If you've been a dirty, rotten scoundrel and you've been treating God bad, it's not the time or place to be taking care of that. You've lost the time and the place. You need to be instant. The Bible says instant in season, out of season. What's that mean? We've been reading Proverbs. Be obedient to Proverbs all the days of your life. And guess what? You can go to the Father boldly and say, it's done. Because I remember. See, David had to remember the lion and the bear. I can remember Jesus. My goodness, Harry, I got a whole lot more than David had. And he whipped giants all over the place. And I got Jesus. Well, God, you don't know how hard it is for me to do so-and-so to submit or whatever word flies in that God puts in your head. You know, let's keep it that way. I don't need to know. God needs to know how serious you are about serving Him. Back to the basics. You know where God's going to get you? In your basics. If you're wanting to move on to higher things, God's going to drag you back down to the basics over and over and over until you get it down. Then He can say, now we got that. I'm going to keep an eye out. You know, if you get out of line, I'm going to take you back to basics again. But let's don't go back there. Paul wrote, let's don't go back to basics. That's supposed to be something we never cross again. Let's get it down. Let's get it taken care of. The Word of God is the only thing that matters. The Word of God is the only thing that matters. The Word of God is the only thing that matters. The Word of God is the only thing that matters. God is the only thing that matters. God is the only thing that matters. How many times a day should we say that? Until we don't need to say it anymore. Well, I want to. God is the only thing that matters. Well, I need to. God is the only thing that matters. But you know what's going to happen if I don't? God is the only thing that matters. Come on, you know what I'm saying. You right there with me. I'm not somewhere that you're not. When we lose sight of the goal, we start serving the moment. And the moment will take you to hell. The goal will lead you to eternal life. What's the goal? Eternal life. Serving God. Pleasing God. That's the goal. So, here's the thing. Isn't that a nice message? But now it needs some legs. It needs some legs. All messages have to have legs, or they don't accomplish anything. It's like any teaching that you ever receive from college, high school, elementary, it doesn't make any difference. If it don't grow legs, the teaching is worthless. And unfortunately, I have legs and you have legs. And sometimes your legs argue with my legs. Well, how do we handle that, Stan? We don't. It's all about God. Listen, I'm trying to put a load and take a load at the same time. Here's the load I want to put on you. You need to learn this basic. It doesn't make any difference what I think. It doesn't make any difference what I think. It doesn't make any difference what I think. Somebody told my wife a long time ago that if you ever get a wart, you take a penny and you rub it on a penny, and then what do you do with it? Or you run the wart with a penny, and then what?
Buy
something with a penny, and they get your wart. No? Okay. The wart went somewhere. There was another story that you can give the wart or something away. I can't. There's all kinds of lies out there. Now look, here's what I said to her. That's bull. She said, it worked. Please, you superstitious people. It didn't work. Superstition doesn't make anything happen. Truth makes things happen. It was coincidence if you rubbed your wart with a penny and it went away. Let's get back to the truth. Don't be blinded by the moment. Come on. Well, if you wear that copper bracelet, your arthritis will go away. Well, what if it does? You're going to give glory to the copper? Why don't you pray that God will take it away, and then you've got the right person to give glory to? Come on. Now listen, even in my healing processes, is the goal to give glory to God, or is it to get healed? Man, if we could get that right. I don't know how much God wants to do for us if we'll just get it straight. I don't ask for healing because it hurts. I ask for healing because it pleases God. I want to do Proverbs 21, not because it's a good story. It's because Proverbs 21, God wrote, and He needs feet put on it. It gives life, it gets life. It gives respect. It gets respect. I just read that to you. It provides esteem to all parties included, right? Something that the United States has forgotten about is esteem. Respect. It's what caused the fight in the Alamo. You know what? I'm so desperately looking for people that are looking for an Alamo. A place to fight for what's right. The win is not necessary. You guys understand that? They lost at the Alamo. And yet it's one of the most famous battles that's ever been fought. And it still makes Mexico shudder. And it makes Texas proud. Are you listening to me? What we need is more people that are looking for an Alamo, which is a good, respectable fight. And the victory is not important. It's because I'm fighting for what's right, I already have the victory. I'm not worried about McKenzie. Because the fight has already been fought. And it wasn't an Alamo fight. It was won. Right. Now all I have to do to make the enemy shudder is remember the cross instead of the Alamo.
Yes, right.
The cross. I said that was religion, what I just said. The cross did nothing. Why don't I just get truthfully? The cross did nothing. Jesus did it. Now who do you serve? You got to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Who do you serve? Let's take the basic Proverbs 21 and the other basics that we're going to cover, past, present, and future. And let's, now I'm going to say it again. Get the CD. I don't care if it's the best preaching I've ever done or not. It's not important. Listen to the basics until they become the only foundation you have. So that when somebody comes along and says, I rubbed a penny on a wart and it went away, you just say, excuse me while I laugh for a minute. Come on. If you have any wisdom, it wasn't because you went to school. It's because God gave it to you. Some of the smartest men that have accomplished the most things in this United States were not highly educated men. But they loved God. Come on. You want to help somebody? Help yourself first. Serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love Him with that same thing. And I promise you, you will get respect and you will make a bridge that goes, that carries people over to that island that you're on called respect. We talked about this. You know why children respect their parents? Because one time in their life they got a good whack of reality, of correction. You know why they really love and respect their parents? Because their parents are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can't snooker them. Now, if that's the case with parents, guess what it is with husbands? You want respect from your wife and your children, you will be the same. You will know the law, and the law will set you free, and it also will set them free. Because you'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as the husbands become brides of Christ, you will now expect Jesus to never give you any slack. Please, we need to quit asking Jesus for slack. You're going to know that your husband, Jesus, is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now it's getting quiet. You notice that? There's not going to be, well, just this one time. No. I gave you a budget. I intend for you to follow. We're not going to bend it and move it and max this card out or anything like that. This is the budget, and you're going to stick with it. Your husband, Jesus, makes those rules. He is the rule. He is the truth. And please, if you have any respect for him, don't ask him to bend it. Please. All righty. Bill? Let's go ahead and pray. The gentleman's looking for something besides church, it looks like. All righty. Y'all want to say amen with me to what's been taught? I do believe this is God's heart. I believe it's a call back to His side. Let's stand. Heart's clear today? What's wrong with Renee? Well, I believe the basics are, the Bible says that she's to call for the elders of the church, and we are to respond with healing in our wings. Is that correct? Renee, would that be something you'd ask for? Good. Then let's respond respectfully and correctly. Amen? Let's just go. Women, you can lay hands on men. We're going to gather around. Renee, the floor loves you, but that's not your position. I'm sure the floor appreciates your close companionship. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we can make jokes out of things that we don't, that there's no life and death here. There's only life. Lord, we stand by that. I heard her call. And so we're showing up, not according to who we think we are, but who we know you are and what you've done and how much I know that you love her. And I thank you for whatever's going on in her life right at this moment. But I don't thank her for the pain. I don't thank you for the pain. And if it's part of a correction process, it's the enemy using it. And so we curse the attack, and we curse the pain. We curse the very source of it by the name and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do it very respectfully. We do it on your behalf and for you. And we tell this body that's on the floor, rise and be healed and never be sick again. Fight with all of your faith, fight. And when you can't, call and we'll fight with you. In Jesus' name, we love your word. We love your way. We love your healing process that was foretold in Isaiah and proven in the New Testament. We thank you, Lord. Now we say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed for Jesus' name. Be healed by the work of Jesus and by the will of the Father. We now agree that the work was done then, the work is done now, and there is no more curse, there is no more attack, there is nothing but the blood of Jesus, the wounds and blood, the bruises and the stripes. We apply that now from the Supreme Physician by those that work in your stead. And we thank you now. And I want everybody to say, thank you that it's done. 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 We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I can, unless there's somebody else that needs to be prayed for, I can consider that as a dismissal prayer of all things. Amen? Anybody else need anything? All right. Praise the Lord. Be dismissed.